7 o'clock. Rise and Shine Pile. Good morning, Jim Davis. Well, the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Busy show today. Avs Nuggets Day. Connor McGahee coming up at 8:20. And then Chris Dempsey to talk Nuggets at 8:40. When we talk to Chris, we'll find out who's going to have to step up to fill the void left by Jamal Murray. If you've not heard, Jamal Murray, Nuggets guard, done for the season, torn left knee ACL. So who will pick up the void as the Nuggets take on the Miami Heat tonight? We'll find out from Chris what he thinks will have to happen for the Nuggets to be able to try to find a way to overcome what's going to be a huge, huge loss for that basketball team. So we'll have that coming up this morning. Also this morning, we'll talk with Tremaine Jackson, Colorado Mesa football coach. Spring game coming up, and also he'll be part of the festivities for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, NADA Champions, out in Fruita on Friday, and then Montrose at the Event Center on Saturday. And once again, you have to pay for tickets, but you do need to go to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes website to let them know you're coming. So to get your RSVP, so you can go to their website and do that. Justin Simmons, unfortunately, is not going to be there in person. They're going to send a video from the Broncos safety. He's been in Florida with his family, and so he will not be there. But Prince Amakamura, former Giant, former NFL player, former Nebraska Cornhusker, will be at both the events, and then Tremaine Jackson. So we'll talk with Tremaine coming up later on this morning. And also, we'll start to focus in more on the draft. Locked On Broncos podcast host Cody Rourke will join us to talk about who he thinks the Broncos should take at quarterback or on the offensive side of the football if they stay at the number 9 pick. Oh, and also, by the way, this morning, we're going to have Corey Hitchcock, new Palisade boys basketball coach, will be joining us. I had a chance actually to talk with him yesterday, and we'll have that conversation coming up later on this morning. All right, so lots to get to in the program today. The number game, we'll do that at 8:20 this morning. What, Junction Square and Apostle Salad for that, correct?
Buckeye? I believe so.
Okay, so we'll have that coming up at about 8:20 this morning. So for a question today, our Qdoba question of the day.
Mm-hmm.
I really haven't come up with anything. Maybe we should do this since we're going to cast our Super Bowl 50 movie tomorrow, since we've talked about doing that.
Yeah.
Take the Pile's help with that. Maybe who we should be casting, because you can't cast...
Can't cast all 53.
And the coaching staff and right. You know, everybody. So probably limited to, as far as coaches go, Gary Kubiak, Wade Phillips. Those would be your two that mm-hmm. you'd be looking to cast. And then, well, we're maybe looking five on each side of the football, because you can't get too bogged down. You can't have every single guy in the no-fly zone. Probably can't do that. You need guys that were the figure, the prominent figures for that football
right.
team. So, like on the defensive side, Von Miller, absolutely. I would say Aqib Talib, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. If this is a dramatization, you definitely need T.J. Ward.
Probably so.
For his thrown cup at the since we get in trouble every time we reference them, dance club.
Right, gentlemen's club.
Yes.
Well,
I may be too much for some people.
Okay. It's early. Dial it down.
I know.
Dial it down a little bit.
The dance club. But he's got to be cast because he's a huge part, T.J. Ward, right?
Okay. Yeah, I think, sure. I mean, if
you're... Veteran,
DeMarcus Ware.
So there's your five defensively?
Yeah, let's see. That's where we can sift through this today. Those are the five that we kind of sort of think. You know, what about Chris Harris Jr.? Played a pretty prominent role on that team. Vocal guy.
I seem to remember him more after.
Okay.
I don't really remember a ton of him Super Bowl 50 that year. Maybe that's just me. I don't know.
Well, that's where we can sort this out. So we already know it's going to be Kubiak and it's going to be Wade Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the offensive side, Manning, duh. Yeah. Probably have to cast Osweiler, don't you?
Yeah.
Played a fairly prominent, that was a big storyline. Comes in, they go 5-2. He looks like he's the future. Then the Charger game comes around and they're playing for, you know, home field advantage, struggling against the Chargers. And on his white horse comes Peyton Manning to guide the Broncos all the way to Super Bowl 50, and they win it all. So I think it's got to be Manning and Osweiler. And then after that, is it DT? Is it Emmanuel Sanders?
Probably Emmanuel Sanders, more personality-wise.
Right. So we'll take your suggestions on that. We're casting.
Elway, got a draft. Got to cast Elway.
Yeah, that's true. But he falls into the coach category.
Yeah, but I mean,
because it's like he's coach front office.
Yeah, you can't do this movie miniseries, our hypothetical, without
him. Yeah, you got to have John.
He's got to be part of it.
There's a time that Gary Busey could have probably played John.
Probably still can.
Yeah.
You got to clean him up a little bit.
Have you seen Gary Busey lately? I don't know. But yeah, okay, so we'll make that. It's Elway.
So I got 10 right now.
So we
got
to have Elway, obviously, Coobs, mm-hmm. Wade,
Manning, Brock Lobster, Emmanuel Sanders.
And then I think maybe DT. But then again, he's not a real charismatic guy, but. But that's where we're going to have the pile help out today. So they're
Ryan
they're,
Harris?
There's almost like just some absolutes. Yeah, we need to cast Ryan Harris. Ryan would just say, I'll play myself. Thank you very much.
Yeah, he'd just play himself.
I don't need anybody to play me. So we'll go with Elway, Kubiak, Wade Phillips. That's all the coaches we need and front office people we need to cast in this film. Because our budget is not endless, okay? Can't just bring in...
You know, so we're budgeting too?
Yeah, we just can't bring in everybody. I mean, come on. And plus, you don't want the story to get too diluted. You want it focused in on the principal players of the Super Bowl 50 season.
So my question is...
Players both on and off the field.
How many playing themselves people are we going to have?
Nobody.
Really?
Everybody's got to be cast.
Because I can take two right now that could play themselves and be pretty good at it.
Emmanuel Sanders.
Okay, three.
Obviously Peyton Manning.
Peyton. Emmanuel, you're right. That's a good one. And I think Aqib Talib.
Probably so.
Could probably play himself. But okay, so we're...
No, we're casting.
Definitely not doing
nobody,
that.
Nobody can play themselves. Got to cast everybody.
Have to get one of those new mail trucks to play Peyton Manning with the big windows up front.
Really? Wow.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist.
Kept on the wrong side of the bed today or what? Jeez, oh, man.
I got up on the right side of the bed, but like 3 minutes before my alarm was set to go off.
Oh, okay. All right, so give us some help today. We're gonna do this tomorrow, and we'll take more of your input tomorrow as well. But we'll start with who we need to cast. Going to go with 5 players on each side of the ball. Got to be principal figures. I think, obviously, PFM, that's PFM, Von Miller.
Yeah.
Those are, boom.
Vernon Davis, obviously.
He was gone by then, I believe.
I thought he played in the Super Bowl.
I thought he was gone by that time. Double check that, because I don't...
Because I thought he played in the Super Bowl. I seem to remember him making a catch in the stadium, because it was talked about.
Maybe he did.
Former 49er.
I'm trying to remember if he... Yeah, because it sure didn't resonate, right?
Right.
You're like, yeah, I think he caught a pass. It wasn't like Owen Daniels in the playoffs, particularly the AFC Championship game, mm-hmm. where he had a big, big game. So, got some thoughts on that today. Casting the Super Bowl 50 movie. We thought about this and then of doing this, and then because there's the Showtime movie that's going to be coming out on the Lakers, and mostly about the Lakers, but the Celtics, and they've cast a variety of different people. Bo Burnham, the comedian / actor that's going to play Larry Bird. Okay. At least he's 6'5". At least he's tall. So at least he's kind of close-ish to Larry Bird. So we thought we'll do our Super Bowl 50 movie. But then Adam Sandler, you know, he's going to do the Bounty Gate film with Kevin James as Sean Payton, which, okay. I'm not entirely seeing that, but I'll defer to Adam Sandler on that one. So we thought we'd do our own film. So give us your thoughts today, your suggestion on who should play John Elway, who should play Wade Phillips, who should play Kubiak.
So Vernon
and
Davis.
And you can't play, they can't play themselves. You have to cast somebody. Like Manning would be perfect, right?
Yeah.
Nope, can't do it.
Got to cast somebody.
Got to cast somebody to play him.
Vernon Davis got the start in the Super Bowl.
He
played 8 snaps.
Okay,
and he did not have a catch nor a target.
Okay, that's why I don't remember him playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. He got the start, though. Something, I guess.
Yeah, because I thought he was gone by then. I thought they had parted company, but maybe that was the next season.
It just felt like it.
Yeah.
After the start, first snap, all right, you can go.
Yeah, because I remember when the Broncos got him, it's like, man, okay, we haven't had a real dynamic receiving tight end since Shannon Sharp. Mm-hmm. This Vernon Davis will be great in Denver. It never developed into that. No. Never did. All right. Well, I'm glad you went back and checked, because I'll be honest, I'd forgot that he started in that game.
Yeah.
I forgot that he was still on the team at that time.
So 8 snaps, that doesn't quite make the movie.
No, you're not. Okay. You're not going to be cast if you play just 8 snaps in the Super Bowl, which is 8 more snaps than I've ever played.
We've played, yeah.
Yeah, but still.
Combined.
Yeah, combined. Still, no, not enough of a reason. So send those in to us today. Somebody's going to win Qdoba today. It's make your own burrito with Qdoba that we're giving away today. So text in. You can send your thoughts on who we should cast for the Super Bowl 50 movie. Text or call us 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. Let's go ahead and dive into...
What's happening?
All right, start things out with the Rockies at the Dodgers last night. We'll talk more about this game. Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer shut out the Rockies Tuesday night as Colorado falls 7-0 at Dodger Stadium. Bauer struck out 9 and gave up 1 hit as the Rockies managed only 2 hits all game. Colorado scored just 4 runs on their first road trip of the season as they fall to 3-8. They take on the Dodgers again tonight. On the team tonight, it'll be Avalanche Hockey, the Avs against the St. Louis Blues. Pre-game at 5 right here on the Team Sports Network. Nuggets are in action tonight. Their first game after the Jamal Murray season-ending injury. They'll take on Miami tonight. Denver Broncos players don't plan on attending upcoming in-person offseason workouts through the NFL Players Association. The Broncos players issued a statement that with the current COVID numbers in Denver and the success of last season's virtual workouts, there is no need for them to be there in person. 22 Broncos have worked out this offseason at the UC Health Center with no cases of COVID. Offseason workouts are in 3 phases, with the final 3-day camp the only mandatory part of the workouts. NFLPA has suggested players boycott the workout, citing concussion numbers as one of the reasons for not attending. Buffs and Rams football fans will have to wait until September of 2023 before the two in-state foes meet again in the Rocky Mountain Showdown. The University of Colorado released their schedule, with Colorado State with the two programs resuming their rivalry September 16th, 2023 at Folsom Field. CU and CSU will meet the next year on September 14th at Canvas Stadium in Fort Collins, with the Rams hosting the Buffs again September 15th, 2029. Back-to-back dates in Boulder on 2030 and 2033, with CSU hosting in 2034. CU will host the 2037 game, with the final scheduled game of the series set for Fort Collins in 2038. Also yesterday, the CSU Athletic Department announcing they plan on having full capacity at Canvas Stadium for Rams football games this fall. The top-ranked Colorado Mesa baseball team swept the weekly RMAC Awards. Mavs pitcher Andrew Morris wins his third Pitcher of the Week honor this season after taking a no-hitter to the 8th inning in a win against Metro State. He allowed just 1 hit and struck out 15 in the win. Teammate Jordan Stubbings is the Player of the Week after picking up 9 hits and scoring 9 runs in CMU's sweep of 19th-ranked Metro State. He also drove in 6 runs and hit 2 home runs in that series. Colorado Mesa pitcher Ellie Smith is the RMAC softball player, their pitcher of the week. Smith went 3-0 with a 1.50 ERA in the Mavs sweep of Black Hill State. Smith also hit 2 home runs, smacked 2 doubles, and knocked in 7 runs. The CMU men's golf team took 4th at the Southern Colorado Masters at the Pueblo Country Club on Tuesday. Mavs freshman Yael Chain and Gonzalez finished in 7th with a 1-over-214. In high school volleyball last night, it was the Fruit of Monument Wildcats beating their Cross Valley rival Grand Junction 3-zip. That was at the Tigers. Jim Hayden Murray led the Wildcats with 28 assists last night. Chloe Hagee had 12 kills for Fruit of Monument. Wildcats are now 6-2 and 4-1 in the Southwestern League. The Tigers dropped to 0-11 overall. They're 0-5 in league play. Delta boys soccer team, they defeated Palisade yesterday by the score of 3-2. Nate Bollinger and Rodolfo Dexter with goals for Palisade. Bulldogs are now 4-4-1, 3-4 in the Western Slope League as Delta gets the win over Palisade yesterday. And that's a look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. So we're casting our Super Bowl 50 movie. We'll start looking for actors tomorrow. Today, we're just trying to narrow down.
Trying to figure out who gets in.
Exactly. And we're in agreement, obviously, Elway, Kubiak, Wade, from a non-player standpoint. And then, we've mentioned Peyton Manning, absolutely yes. And they can't play themselves, by the way. You've got to cast somebody to play them. Manning and Von Miller are just, we're looking at five on each side from a player standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys are locks. They're both. Let's just say we're down to four now, right?
Yeah.
On each, or do we want to go five or do we want to go six? Do we want to expand this a little bit? I don't want to go past six on each side. Then it starts to get too unwieldy.
See, now I have another question. We referenced that someone's going to play Larry Bird in this Showtime Lakers deal.
Bo Burnham, yeah, the actor.
So do comedian. We start casting Cam? Some of the other people that the Broncos maybe went up against.
That's true.
Instead of, you know.
When do you really need to cast Cam Newton, though? I mean, he's
kind of the
central figure.
Yeah.
Is there, as far as the arrogance, the, mm-hmm. the mouth, all those things that the Broncos fans hated about Cam Newton. But is there anybody else on that team that you go, yeah, we got to cast that guy?
Ron Rivera.
Yeah, see, all of a sudden now it starts to get really.
If you're gonna cast like the sixth most important Broncos defensive player,
but it's a Broncos-centric movie though.
So is the Showtime Lakers deal, but they have Bird and they have other Red or
yeah, but then all of a sudden
Celtics
now,
players.
How many other people were gonna? I mean,
two, three.
Yeah, I don't get crazy here. I just, two or three is okay.
Okay, Cam, Ron Rivera. I think.
Olsen?
Yeah, there's a Wilson brother floating around that could play Olsen, yeah.
What do you think? You think Owen Wilson's going to play Greg Olsen?
Yeah, sure. Blonde? Goofy?
Well, his nose looked like he's played hockey more than he's played football, but... Yeah, I don't know about Owen Wilson playing Greg Olsen.
Does Vince Vaughn play Brock Lobster at that point? Because you have to cast all the guys together.
Yeah, I'm thinking that ship has sailed.
I don't think the Wilson brothers have ever done a movie on their own without any of those knuckleheads.
You know who kind of looks like Osweiler?
Hmm.
But I don't know if he's big enough to play him. Pattinson. Robert Pattinson has a little bit of a...
Oh, the shiny vampire from Twilight.
Could be Batman. Come on, man. Don't be... Cracking on Pattinson. Tenant? He was really good in Tenant.
I didn't see
he's it. More he's more than Twilight, okay?
Okay. I'll take your
Team
word
Edward,
for it.
Whatever. He kind of looks like him. Not that we're casting actual actors today. We're gonna do that tomorrow, but I just
remember him as way too pale for the guy from Arizona.
Once again, it's not the same guy, okay? That was a character that he played. I know you love your Twilight films, but settle down.
Love them.
Settle down, okay? All right, so we're looking today just who we're going to cast in the movie. So if you got suggestions today, sure, Cam Newton, Ron Rivera, anybody else of the Panthers you felt was necessary?
No.
Maybe Mike Rimmers, who got smoked by Von Miller.
He could play himself. He could be the one guy who gets to play himself.
He gets to play himself. All right, send that in to us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340. We'll take a break and we'll come back with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team, Colorado Sports Leader.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show. They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado Sports Leader, the Team.
Welcome back, 723. Jim Davis along with the Buckeye Boy. From the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. So we could use your help today. We're going to do our own Super Bowl 50 movie. And so we're looking about who today, who do we cast in the film? There's some folks that are obviously absolute, definite, yes, no doubters.
Right.
Elway, Kubiak, Wade,
Manning,
PFM, yeah. Von Miller. Those are ones that are just, yeah, you got to have them. Cam, got to cast Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
So who would you cast? And they can't play themselves. Got to have an actor play them. Even though we know Manning would be great. Manning would be fantastic. I think Vaughn could probably play himself. We talked about Emmanuel Sanders. Cam Newton could probably definitely. I don't. Cam didn't want to go through that again, though. I don't think he'd want to go through, hey, let's reenact one of the worst professional days of your career.
Yeah.
Losing.
Probably not.
In your only opportunity to go to the Super Bowl to this point in his career. I doubt he'd be down for that.
I don't think he'd be into that.
So, who would you cast? And then tomorrow we'll start looking for actors to play some of these roles. So send that in to us today. Your suggestions for who we should cast for our Super Bowl 50 film. We're going to keep it not too crazy. Roughly five players on each side of the ball. And then Ron Rivera and Cam Newton. Maybe somebody else for Carolina. So send that in to us today. Text it to us. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line 970-242-1340.
I already got Cam Newton cast.
Who do you have?
Michael B. Jordan.
He would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
He would be.
I think so. I mean, Jamie Foxx can play a quarterback.
Stephen Willie Beeman.
Yeah.
I saw a thing where Jamie Foxx is doing a sitcom with his daughter now. It's not his daughter's. Daughter's a producer.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on his relationship, his real-life relationship with his daughter.
Hmm. Okay. I don't know.
It's on Netflix, by the way, if you got Netflix. Oh.
Okay. I may come across it at some point. I don't know. It doesn't jump out at me like, man, I got to watch that. I like Jamie Foxx, but...
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm looking more forward to him playing Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Than seeing him in a... And they showed some clips of it. Okay. It's not my thing. But anyway.
Okay.
Jamie Foxx play anybody?
He played DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah, not big enough. Not a big enough guy. DeMarcus is a big dude. I'm thinking, and I don't remember the actor's name. I'd have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
But he played Ali in the One Night in Miami that was on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
That was Cassius Clay, the night that he won the fight against Sonny Liston in Miami, and Sam Cooke's in it. Leslie Odom Jr. from Hamilton played him in that, and you had Aldous Hodge that played Jim Brown, and the guy that played Ali, and I can't remember his name, who looked just like a young Muhammad Ali. He had him down to a T. Mm-hmm. He kind of has that baby face look of maybe a DeMarcus Ware, because DeMarcus always had kind of that little bit of a baby face look, kind of roundish face, and
yeah.
Did not look like the devastating pass rusher that he was. But we're not casting actors just yet, but we're getting, I know it looks like you're getting some ideas on who you want to cast for this thing.
Eli Govry?
Believe so. Whoever played.
I've only seen his name written, so I don't know how to say it.
Yeah. I think that's Eli Govry. Yeah, that sounds right. He was really good. They were all really good in that film, by the way. All right, so if you got some thoughts on that today, send it to us at our text line, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. So we got a lot coming up later on. Connor McGahee, Chris Dempsey. We've tried to turn 8 o'clock hour on Wednesdays to Avs and Nuggets Day. So we'll have those guys coming up to talk about the Avs taking on the Blues tonight right here on the team. And then that's with Connor and then Chris Dempsey to talk Nuggets and the Heat tonight. But probably more important, where do the Nuggets go from here when it comes to dealing with the loss of the Blue Arrow, losing Jamal Murray for the rest of the season? So send that to us today, who we should cast for the Super Bowl 50 film, at 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. All right, want to get to baseball from last night. The Rockies losing that first game of the opener of that set at Chavez Ravine. They only had to face Trevor Bauer last night. That was it. 2020 National League Cy Young winner.
They haven't caught him cheating yet, have they?
Not yet. Oh, okay. No, not yet.
Getting there, though.
So it was Bauer against Antonio Sensatella last night. Well, one of them was really, really good. The other one wasn't so good. We'll let you guess which one was really good last night.
I'm going to guess Trevor Bauer.
Your reigning Cy Young winner gave up just one hit, walked two, he struck out nine. Garrett Hampson had an infield hit in the third inning. Hampson was the offensive juggernaut last night for the Rockies.
Yeah.
Because guess what? He got the only other hit that the Rockies had all night long. That was a single off reliever Scott Alexander. Last night, Bauer just shut them down. The Rockies are 0 for 4 on the current road trip. They've scored a grand total of 4 runs so far. They've been held scoreless now for 21 consecutive innings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just talked about it yesterday.
You just look like somebody that wants to say something here.
You can only beat the dead horse so much. There's no punch in this offensive lineup. And that's all there is to it. We talked about it yesterday. Punch in this offensive lineup.
I mean the numbers I just said. I mean, last night they managed two hits, two bleeping hits. That's all we've got. And a night where they needed Antonio Sensatella to be really, really good, and he was really, really good in his last start.
Mm-hmm.
That was not last night. He gave up 3 solo home runs, back-to-back blast to Corey Seager and Chris Taylor in the first. He was gone after 2 2/3 innings. Gave up 5 runs, 4 earned, 5 hits, ERA now over 7. Second shortest start of his career. Go to some sound from last night's game. Bud Black, Rockies manager, after the game, talking about Antonio Sensatella's night.
I think they had some good swings against Sensa tonight on pitches that weren't, properly located. If we reconstruct that first inning, I think the home run to Seager was a fastball, a little bit up out over the plate for him to hit the ball to left center. That had to be a little bit of a mistake. I think the Taylor home run was a breaking ball that didn't get down and away from it, stayed in the middle of the plate. I think the Betts home run on the 3-2 pitch was also elevated fastball that he hit to straightaway left. So I think the homers were just pitches that were up in the strike zone, up out over the plate. There were some hard hit outs. There were some pitches that I thought he really executed and got his outs, but, they had good swings against him tonight.
All right, so there's Bud Black trying to say in the nicest way possible that Antonio Sensatella was terrible last night.
He wasn't sharp, but he wasn't, he wasn't just god-awful. He wasn't a dumpster fire out there.
But he only went 2 2/3 innings, though.
But that's also on Bud. That part of that's on Bud. The fact that after 2 2/3, he's given up 5 hits and 5 runs, 4 of them earned, to the Dodgers. I mean, it's not like he's going out there and giving this up to the Pirates. Mookie Betts is an MVP caliber player.
No, but you've got to have.
Seager is too. I don't understand yanking him in the third. Especially with the bullpen they have. That doesn't sit well with me. Yeah, he was getting hit around a little bit, and there were some hard hit outs, but do you really have a better option down in the bullpen right now than Antonio Sensatella? When the kid figures it out, we saw what happens last week. He didn't have it to the same extent last night, but he also didn't give him a chance to really kind of snap out of it, I thought. That's to me.
Look, I think he's in a damned if he doesn't situation. If you leave him out there longer, and he gets smacked around more, what are we going to be saying?
Why didn't you
go get him? Look, when they fell behind, they weren't going to come back.
No, against their starting staff.
Sensatella could have been brilliant last night. He could have matched Bauer pretty close pitch to pitch. They still were not going to win.
No,
because the Dodgers were going to find a way to score a run or two last night, and they were going to beat them.
And the Rockies can't.
Because the Rockies can't answer. They have no counterpunch. They have, when they get a good start from somebody, as we saw, witness this last weekend, Austin Gomber's start. And
either the offense can't come through or the bullpen blows it.
Exactly. And so they were, look, I'll here's a rare time I'll defend Bud on this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he leaves him in there and things keep going the way they're going, because he wasn't pitching well. Well, you said it wasn't a dumpster fire, but the Dodgers have a great lineup, and obviously, you know, it's going to be tough to limit them.
But I mean, they have a guy like A.J. Pollock hitting seventh.
I know. That's what's so disgusting about this team. Yeah, you got Pollock hitting seventh for you.
That's not even fair.
Yeah, most teams, he's going to be, you know, upper half of your order. Not hitting seventh.
Yeah.
But in this lineup, he hits
seventh.
He's
a 3-4-5 hitter, but no, he's for the Dodgers. We can work you in at seven, yeah. AJ, I guess.
And I understand your frustration. I just view it as, I'm not sure what else he was supposed to do last night. If he leaves him in, he gets smacked around more, then Bud gets ripped for, well, why'd you leave him out there? You're right, though. It does prevent the opportunity for him to kind of get himself out of it, dig himself out of the ditch a little bit, shut him down the rest of the way. Hopefully at least limit them the rest of the way. Not going to shut him down, but limit them the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Try to keep it within 3-4 runs. And then hopefully you can have him limp to at least the fifth or sixth inning to save your bullpen a little bit.
When we get to the top of the rotation, it's always these guys need to go 6 or 7 to give the bullpen some rest. Well, the bullpen needs rest because you're going out there and you're yanking your starter in the third. You know, yeah, he's given up some home runs, but also you have
their solo shots,
the World Series MVP in there. You have the NLCS MVP in this lineup. Actually, Bellinger wasn't in the lineup, but you have Corey Seager, who's MVP caliber
right
at times. Chris Taylor.
Guy's got some pop.
Max Muncy can hit the ball out of any yard. And if you're elevated in the zone, that's going to happen. Fastball up, a cement mixer that doesn't get down, another fastball up, and they're going to whack you around the yard. Yeah, it's going to happen, but not giving him the chance to really settle in and fix his own issues, I think, one, is detrimental in the long run to a guy like Senzatella, whose confidence seems to get shaky at times.
But is that the reason Bud did it, though?
I don't know.
Because he was afraid that Senza was not going to get on track last night, and it wasn't going to get better. It was just going to get worse. Do I want to do that to a guy whose confidence is somewhat?
And that's a point.
Paper
that's a good point.
Finish. I mean, I think, like I said, I don't think there was a right answer here.
You're probably right. You can't put Daniel Bard in the third.
No, you
can't.
You
have no other guy down there that you can rely on. But you're like, all right, we got six innings to figure this out, fellas.
That's why they got Chacin. That was supposed to be part of the reason. A guy that could pitch a little long relief. And
he was all right last night. He wasn't fantastic.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that the decision, though, on pulling him when they did, what, 2 2/3?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's really a right answer there.
It just felt early to me. It felt like, you know, like you said, the Rockies not going to come back. It kind of felt like Bud pulled the plug a little early. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll get him again tomorrow, fellas.
We're waving the white
flag.
The
bottom of the third, Bud. All right, we'll get him again tomorrow. We'll take another swing at him tomorrow. Hey, Ben Bowden went out there. Worked a scoreless inning.
That's good because, gosh, they
brought his ERA down to 15.
I mean, yeah. Chacin went 2 1/3, 4 hits. He only gave up one run. Chacin was pretty good last night. I mean, considering the situation he got thrown into, I just think that's tough. That's a tough decision to make when you're talking about a guy like you said with Senzatella's.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about how he's sensational. He's also sensitive, maybe a little bit.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, he is probably a little bit too sometimes, I guess.
And I'd like to think that's where Bud's mind was that, okay.
Trying to save his confidence.
Exactly.
And maybe.
All right, so John Gray, Dustin May, your matchup tonight. We'll have the Rockies coming up tomorrow. We'll have Avs hockey tonight, Avs and St. Louis Blues, 5 o'clock right here on the team. All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
This is Sam from Fruita.
All right. Sam, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Jim Davis. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Hey, any chance you guys have rethought your over and under on the Rockies wins yet?
You know, at one point I'd actually moved it up to, I think, 70. I'm not going to move off that number at the moment, but boy, I'm starting to rethink that a little bit. I think I'm at 66. You have them what? What was your final?
67, I think, was
I think
there.
I did 70 and you did 67.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not sure. For now, Sam, to be the eternal optimist, I'm going to keep it at 70 and hope things get better. We'll put it that way.
Well, you know, granted, they haven't played a dozen games yet. Or should I say participated in a dozen games.
Right. Exactly. Yes, they were there. They get their participation medal for showing up.
At least I have to give them credit for this. They aren't getting our hopes up this year. You know, it's always they start off like a house on fire and things start to decay and then we hit the June swoon and we're out of the race. But, you know, this year they aren't dangling that carrot in front of us.
At the least at the moment, yeah, they certainly are not getting our hopes up, are they?
Yeah, I you know, nothing's working. I mean, they get a good starting pitcher up there who performs well, and the bullpen craps the bed, or they don't get any offense to support him. It's I don't know. It's really frustrating. At least you can say it's not unexpected because they've lost some talent this past year. That is,
who do they lose? Who's gone from this team? Who do they lose?
Well,
what are you talking? What are you talking?
Arenado?
I don't know. Ryan McMahon's my third baseman.
What are you talking about? Come on. Austin Gomber was the piece that was the missing link. Come on.
Well, I have to admit, at least he pitched better the second time.
I will agree with you on that. Yes, he actually pitched really, really well on Friday.
That first outing, I'm sitting there thinking, I can't believe they traded anybody for this guy, even a bag of balls.
No kidding.
They weren't in the strike zone.
Yeah, really. But, you know, it's frustrating. I didn't watch much last night. I just, I'm suffering enough. So I couldn't last through more than about the first inning and a half. And I thought, well, I can see where this is heading.
Yeah, unfortunately, Trevor Bauer on the bump. They got two hits. Thanks, Garrett Hampson. Thank you for doing that. There wasn't much to get. There wasn't much hope last night for anybody watching that game.
You know, I don't think anybody expected them to go out and win more against the Dodgers than they're going to lose this excursion. But I thought at least they'd show up.
Well, hopefully they will. I don't know. I'm with you. I'm not sure. I want to feel like they're, like what Kyle Freeland said, they're going to be competitive and they're going to make it tough on people but they've not on the road right now they've only made it tough on themselves so far. That's kind of how it's gone, unfortunately. Anything else, Sam?
No, I guess that's it for today. Go Avs.
Okay, Avs tonight right here on the team. Thank you, Sam. Always great to hear from you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, Sam from Fruita today.
I was like Sam. I tried to hang in a little bit. Last
you're
night.
Hoping, right? And
you know, they went 3-up, 3-down. I'm like, okay, this isn't great. Ground out to Mookie Betts. I'm like, okay, got through that guy. There's only 7 more through the order to work through. Seager, first pitch swinging, hits it out. Chris Taylor is like 1-0 or 0-1. 5 pitches in, they're down 2-0. I'm like, nope, we're done.
We're done.
We're going to bed.
It's over. It's over. All right.
We'll read the box in the morning.
Yeah. Very quickly, Avalanche get the Blues tonight. We'll have it here on the team pregame at 5 o'clock. We'll talk Avs hockey with Connor McGahee coming up at 8:20 this morning. Avs on their current win streak of 3 straight, able to beat Arizona on Monday night 4-2, a ball arena, the game where saw Philip Grubauer get the weekend rest against Anaheim and played great, turned back 35 shots on Monday. So St. Louis, they come in with a record of 19-16-6 and they've won three straight. Beat the Wild in overtime 3-2 on Saturday. That was their last game. Avalanche come in 29-9-4. Of course, your points leader in the National Hockey League. So we'll have that game tonight right here on the team. Pre-game at 5 o'clock. The Nuggets get Miami tonight at Ball Arena. And for the Nuggets, it's dealing with the loss now of Jamal Murray. Gone for the season with the torn ACL. And the Athletic, they have their weekly NBA power rankings. Guess who your number one team is right now?
The Nuggets?
The Denver Nuggets.
I'm guessing that was put out over the weekend.
And it was put out. It actually came out yesterday.
Ooh.
Might have been, though, before
the news of the injury. Yeah.
But they have the Nuggets as the number one team. They were number two last week.
And when Jamal Murray came back, that's kind of the thought, right? It's like, man, imagine how team this good could be.
Well, yeah, you definitely, Zach Harper's the guy that wrote this.
Mm-hmm.
He has this question that arises. So what happens if Jamal Murray isn't the NBA bubble version of himself where he can't stay on the court? Well, we know.
Oh, the great Kreskin there. Man, that was.
So that becomes a big question. And what is the answer for the Nuggets? Is it Monte Morris, who 10 points per game, really good distributor,
mm-hmm.
not going to pick up the 21 points per game output that Jamal Murray has? And here's something that's got to be really troubling, too. Looking at some of the offensive efficiency numbers
mm-hmm.
for somebody like Nikola Jokic, his numbers are off the charts when Murray and him are on the floor together.
Yeah.
They operate really well together. They know each other inside and out. When Murray's not on the floor,
it's negative.
It goes negative. It goes into a negative number for Nikola Jokic when Murray is not on the floor.
There's an article in The Athletic by Nick Kosmider, I believe it was Nick, yesterday, talking about how the Nuggets are going to survive this. And it was essentially, it echoed everything we said yesterday, that you're going to have to get more from Monte Morris and Facu Campazzo, and he doesn't think Facu's going to have the size to replicate some of that offense from Jamal Murray.
Because Murray, that was his 21 points per game. That's a career best number for him.
Yeah.
So he was having a career best offensive season that you're now going to have to try to replace. There was some talk about bringing in a veteran guard like an Austin Rivers, that's a possibility, but he's not Jamal Murray, so nobody's going to be Jamal
Murray.
There's
a reason he's available.
Right, because he's Austin Rivers. It's a tough spot for them to be in, no doubt about that. All right, time for sound check.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have?
Well, Aaron Rodgers still guest hosting on Jeopardy, and he's getting a lot more comfortable here in what is now his second week.
Title for 400. In the 1960s, these Midwesterners earned 5 NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers?
Anybody? Anybody?
Dennis, go
try
again,
title
I guess.
For 600.
I love the hands out like...
Any, get up,
stand right here.
Right here. Guy,
go play, again.
Play for that team.
Love the Dennis. Go again. That was great.
Go
Dennis,
again.
Go try again, title I guess. For
600. Go again, I guess. All right, 7:47. We'll take a break. We'll come back. And Corey Hitchcock, the new Palisade Boys basketball coach. We're going to hear from him coming up next right here on The Jim Davis Show.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Who should we cast for our Super Bowl 50 movie? Send that our way today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line at 970-242-1340.
With us now, the new head boys basketball coach of Palisade, Corey Hitchcock, joining us. Corey, appreciate the time. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
I know for you, you're excited, you and your family, to come back to the Western Slope. You had great success for 8 years in familiar stomping grounds in the Western Slope League when you coached the Glenwood Springs boys basketball team. But what led your decision to leave Hobbs, New Mexico, and coaching it at University of the Southwest? Why come back to the Grand Valley at this point in time, and why take on the Palisade job?
Yeah, it's a great question. Number one, I think the most important thing was my family. You know, we lived out here. We're from Colorado. My wife and kids are making frequent trips back to Colorado to see family. I wasn't able to get back as much as I would like, but, you know, I just thought, you know, my kids, you know, they have cousins out there. It was just, I think, a better situation for us to be back home. It was more of a family move, get settled in there. Enjoyed my time here at the University of Southwest. We accomplished a lot of great things while I was here. But at the end of the day, I really enjoyed coaching at the high school level and watching the growth that those young men make from coming in as freshmen and leaving as seniors. And there's not too many jobs I would jump on out in that area. Palisades is definitely one of them. I think it's just because of the administration they have, the athletic director, and Greg. I believe in him. And we've always wanted to live in Grand Junction. That's kind of been our final destination spot for my wife and I.
Corey Hitchcock, new coach of the Palisade boys basketball team, with us on the Team Sports Network. And we'll get back to your time in Glenwood in a moment. But in, you know, recently, your time at the University of Southwest Hobbs, New Mexico, you had an outstanding season in that 2019-2020 season. That was an 11-game improvement. Finished third in the Red River Athletic Conference, the highest finish in, you know, conference finish in school history. You were also named the Coach of the Year as well, and first time at the University of the Southwest that the men's basketball coach had won that award. So there you did a lot of good things. Had a lot of had a big turnaround with that program during your time there, particularly that 2019-2020 season.
Yeah, you know, it was fun. You know, originally when I came out here, I took the women's program, and, you know, they had won four games in 4 years, and, you know, I didn't get a chance to recruit. We had won eight games that first year, so obviously a big improvement when the athletic director asked me to take over the men's program. They had only won five games the year before, so, you know, getting 16 wins in our first year, and we had a lot of great accomplishments and did a lot of firsts. You know, lost in our conference tournaments, which wasn't what we really want, how we wanted to end our season. But really proud of what we accomplished during our time here. I think turning around two separate programs here took a lot of work and a lot of effort. And I didn't do it by myself. I had, you know, a great graduate assistant that helped me along the way. But, you know, I got to experience something special here and turn it around. But at the same time, I find myself losing a lot of time with my family and sitting back and reflecting on a lot of things this year with COVID and everything. Decided that, you know, I want to get back to the high school level. I want to get back to, you know, teaching kids and, you know, most importantly, making time for my family.
Corey Hitchcock, new Palisade boys basketball coach with us on the team. When you were in Glenwood, 114 wins. You won the league title four times, eight state tournament appearances, coach of the year three times in the Western Slope League, and you also had coached at Montrose as well as an assistant coach. So you know the Western Slope really well. In particular, you know how tough that Western Slope League is during your time at Glenwood.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, shoot, we accomplished a lot of great things while we were at Glenwood. You know, credit goes to those guys. They worked their tails off. They bought into what we were doing day in and day out. They worked hard daily. They were very coachable. And because of that, they, you know, were able to be very successful. And I just happened to be the guy that lead them. I'm very excited to get back into that league. I'm very familiar with it. You know, it's going to be, I think, a little weird the first time I coach against the Glenwood Demons. You know, I received a lot of text messages from my former players telling me that I'm in the wrong shade of red. But I'm excited about this opportunity, and hopefully we can carry over the success that I was able to have at Glenwood and do this exact same thing at Palisade, and hopefully build a dominant basketball program where year in and year out we're competing for a league championship.
And certainly Clay Kame has done a really nice job there. They've been to the playoffs the last couple of years, the state tournament. They've had some really talented players there like Kevin Loy and other guys. So it certainly is a program that has been turned around, and now you get to step into that program, step into Clay Kame's shoes now that he's decided to move elsewhere. And when we talk about a Corey Hitchcock team, What does that mean? What are you expecting to see for those that maybe don't remember your style of play when you coached at Glenwood Springs, Corey? What can Palisade basketball fans and Grand Valley basketball fans, for that matter, expect to see from your basketball teams?
Well, first, I want to say there's no feeling Clay shoes. Clay's a great coach. I've always respected Clay and what he's done at Palisade while he was there. He did a great job with those guys. I'm fortunate and blessed to be able to inherit a great group of guys that he's coached, and I know he's kind of got them rolling to be a tough-minded group that works hard. And so I'm excited to kind of inherit those group of guys. As far as the type of style that we're going to play, we'll be a defensive-minded team first and foremost, but we'll get up and down the court. We want to play fast. We want to play at an exciting level. We like to attack the defense, but we like our defense to create a lot of our offense. So, I've always been a defensive-minded coach. I think that, obviously I'm a big believer that defense wins basketball games. We were so good at it when we were at Glenwood, and I don't see why we couldn't be successful with that same format at Palisade.
Corey Hitchcock, new Palisade boys basketball coach, will have that interview available for you on our website, Twitter, and Facebook after 10:30 this morning. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with Hour 2. Connor McGahee, Chris Dempsey from Altitude coming up next hour to talk Avs and Nuggets.